From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. In the spirit of Pride Month, June, Mountain Mediation will host a community conversation which welcomes all who would like a safe place to talk about being a part of your experience with the LGBTQIA+ community. Joining us to discuss the topic and the format of meeting on the June 8th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. is a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, Chris Campbell. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. And you are a community member here in Park City. Would you mind giving us an update on the LGBTQIA+ community here?
Well, sure. There have been people living in the area that are LGBTQIA+ for as long as Park City's been here, I'm sure. But it's really been only the last year or two that we've really started to find each other and form community. We've been going it alone in our own circles, and we're realizing that that's been a challenge for all of us. That loneliness doesn't feel particularly great, and so we've been starting to find each other, and there's been a task force recently that's formed to help figure out what community looks like, what it means for us to be part of the LGBTQIA+ community in Park City.
And share a little bit from your perspective, or from, you know, maybe what has been shared with you from others. What does that loneliness look like here in this community? Because, I mean, this is a very empathetic and compassionate community for the most part. And, you know, to understand that experience and what that looks like and intended or unintended realities for that.
Sure. And, you know, I'll speak to my experience because everybody has a slightly different experience, especially if you're more or less outgoing or who your friends are. For me, I have a tendency to just kind of keep my head down and go about my business. And I find when I do that, I don't show up as my full self. And so it's a little bit of the loneliness. Like, I feel like I can't share my whole self in certain circumstances. I'm not sure how well that will be received, and so I play it safe. One of the things that I realized personally is when I'm more visible and when I'm more vulnerable with myself, people actually rise to meet that, and I get a lot more support. And so I'm afraid that I'm not going to get it, but I find that it's out there when I'm willing to look for it.
Chris, what are the okay questions to ask? I think that for many of us, we're very curious. Especially, there's so many unknowns about the transgender community for people who haven't, well, people probably have met someone of the transgender community, but they may not know it, right? And so there's all this curiosity around this topic, but you don't want to ask the wrong question. And I think that's pretty pervasive, would you say?
Yeah, I think people want to take care of other people and respect other people. And so I think it's reasonable to not want to say something that's going to offend somebody else. And when people come up to me and ask questions from a sense of openness and caring and kindness, that I'm much more willing to answer their questions. I mean, before I realized I was trans, I hadn't met anybody trans for a while. And so there was a lot of learning that I had to do myself. Now, it can be exhausting sometimes to teach everybody all the nuances. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you want to get the basics, open up Google, you know, type what is trans or type trans 101. And there's great resources. There's videos. You can see people's stories. But I found that a lot of people in the community, when you approach, and you can ask, hey, is this a good time to talk about it? Or you can say, I'd like to talk with you about this sometime. Can we meet for coffee or whatever? You'll get good responses.
So. Yeah. We're speaking with Chris Campbell of Mountain Mediation. Now, Chris, I've been in these community conversations with you before, and you are a facilitator. Is that the right word?
Yeah. So I'm learning how to facilitate. We approach these circles, or these conversations, using a circle concept from restorative justice. And the idea there is that the facilitator helps hold the circle, which is a safe space, and asks guided questions. And this environment lets everybody have a chance to speak. Everybody has a chance to listen. We really approach the conversations as equals.
Yeah, that circle is such a great circle. And I think, you know, it's very intentional, and it has this incredible impact of really making you feel like it's a safe space and getting to your story, you know, better than ever before, I think, and having people hear you. It's such a wonderful thing. So highlight a little bit what's going on June 8th. Let's see, I'm lost in my days now. Is it next Tuesday?
Yeah, next Tuesday. So we've had a series of community conversations this year that have been looking at different aspects of community and visibility in the community. So we've looked at cultures and traditions from Spanish-speaking cultures. We've done some all of these have been bilingual conversations. We've done one last month, on addressing the stigma of mental health with Connect. So we're really looking at what does visibility mean in these various contexts. So next Tuesday, we'll be looking at visibility in the LGBTQIA community. And we're doing that coinciding with Pride Month because the topic's coming up. So we welcome people who, regardless of how familiar you are with the community, whether you're in the community or not, it's a chance to come and share and learn and participate.
And what has the general reception of these conversations been? I mean, is it a packed house? Are you getting, 5,000 Zoom members on there? Or has it been a really intimate kind of discussion?
Yeah, so these circle conversations work best in groups of 6 to 12 people or so. We've been hosting them on Zoom this year, and this one will be on Zoom as well. So what we do is we split into breakout rooms to keep the size right about that 6 to 12. So I think we've had anywhere from 20 to 40 people at each of these conversations. We've had a lot of the same people come back sometimes, partly because I think people have been really searching for that connection and community during COVID, and this has been a great place to meet people you wouldn't come across otherwise.
How amazing, 20 to 40 people in these critical conversations. I just recently watched an interview with Elliot Page on Oprah, and wow, what an enlightening discussion. And it was really interesting, especially leading into this June 8th conversation about collective experience, like generalizations and versus that individual experience. And Elliot really made that poignant in that interview with him. Can you talk a little bit about the careful line that you're navigating, because you're covering a breadth and diversity of individual and topics, experiences?
Right. Well, I think in the circle format, when each of us shares our own personal experience, then the other people in the circle can hear that and see what pieces they have in common and not. And so we get to learn and find those places of common ground. And I think a lot of people come away surprised, realizing that they have more in common with the various people they meet in the circle.
Just to clarify, Chris, because it wasn't very clear, I think, in the verbiage, but it was, so if you are a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, you are welcome. If you are curious about the community, you're welcome. Is that right?
Absolutely. Everybody's welcome. If you don't even know what LGBTQIA stands for, you're welcome. We would love to have you there. There's no prerequisite for knowledge or membership. This is open community-wide.
I heard this funny joke. Some comedian talked about how this community gets all the letters of the alphabet. It's not fair, what he said. But, for those who don't know, and I will say that I hear LGBT, I hear LGBTQ, I hear LGBTQIA+. What do they stand for?
So I'll give a brief what they stand for, but the idea really is in inclusivity. And so mm-hmm. You'll see more letters added, you'll see more colors added to the flag. And that's because we realize we all have these different components of identity, of who we're attracted to, of what our gender is, and those things are all on spectrums, and there's different terms for all of that. So really the point of all these letters and colors is to to reach out and understand that we're inclusive of everybody. Everybody's in there somewhere. But the letters specifically, L is for lesbian, G for gay, B for bi, bisexual, T for transgender, Q for queer, which for some people is still can be a hurtful term, but for a lot of people they've reclaimed and it's become much more positive. Mm-hmm. I is for intersex, A is for asexual, and plus is for all the other experiences. So there's pansexual, there's non-binary, there's lots of different terms to describe where your, how you feel about your gender, what your understanding of your gender is, and what your attraction is.
Mm-hmm. How does it make someone like you feel that this community has started an LGBTQ task force through the municipality, is bringing this topic to a community conversation, is having, you know, celebrating Pride Month? I saw the Pride colors on a couple of buses, the electric buses, and, you know, how does that feel? Does it feel like someone's putting a warm hug around you?
Absolutely. So that support is huge, because what that feels like is that there's people in the community, the greater community, the Park City community, the Summit County community, who are supportive, and that it's not up to us as, or me as a transgender person, it's not up to me to do all the heavy lifting. I have people around saying, yes, you're welcome. So, which is a lot easier than saying, hey, make a space for me. It's, yeah. I love the warm hug.
Mm-hmm. And you made that differential. What is that difference between make a space for me versus the warm hug? Maybe some people don't necessarily have that understanding of what that different experience might be, because a lot of people just want space to be. So help us to understand that.
I think when you belong to a community, or when you're the majority of a community, whatever that is, whether it's a religious community, or in Park City, maybe it's you're a skier, or, you know, or it's race, or it's gender, or whatever it is, when you're that majority, you just naturally belong and fit in. You never question whether it's okay for you to be in a space. And so, you know, when I talked about keeping my head down and just going along, if I constrain myself to fit into whatever the majority space is, maybe it's, you know, middle class, you know, white guy or whatever, if I can put that on, I can fit in, and then I don't have to question whether I belong. But if I want to show up as my whole self as a trans man, that's a little riskier, and that's asking that question, is there space for me here as my whole self?
Right, that's so important, and I ask that intentionally, because as a middle class white man, there's often this experience of like, I just need people to know I'm here, and like I take up space, and you know, this is, and maybe that's just because I'm really short, but but there's a huge difference between, you know, I am here versus feeling that compassion and love and acceptance, and that's the difference, right?
Exactly, and some of it's socialization as well. So females are also socialized to not take up so much space, to be quiet, to sit in the corner and things like that. So if you've been raised with that training, which I was raised with that understanding as well, it can be risky or brave or hard to break out of that and be like, oh, I can claim my space. I can, you know, I don't have to sit on half of the chair, but I can actually fill up my whole chair.
As I'm sitting on the edge of my chair listening to the conversation, partly because it's the conversation. So,
yeah. Well, what a great event. June 8th, it's next Tuesday. What are the times?
6:30 to 7:45 p.m. You can pre-register to get the Zoom link either at the Facebook site, which is at Mountain Mediation Center, Utah, or on Instagram at Mountain Mediation Center.
And the whole thing is bilingual, so you are asked a question in English. If that's what you understand, it's repeated in Spanish. You give your answer in English or Spanish, and then it's translated into English or Spanish.
Exactly.
It's really fun. You really learn. It's a learning experience. If you're interested in learning Spanish, it's a very good learning experience.
It's really cool. And we're looking for ways that everybody in the community has a chance to participate. And we found the bilingual conversations really help a lot. It helps people be more comfortable to be able to answer in whatever language they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It's been a learning curve for me to learn how to handle a bilingual conversation. The pace is a little bit different, but it's been really rewarding to be able to hear all those other perspectives that I wouldn't have heard otherwise.
Yeah. And just quickly, are you facilitating this one? Or I know Deborah McGraw also facilitates.
Right. So depending on the number of people in the number of mm-hmm. breakout rooms, we usually have two or three facilitators. So I will be one of those facilitators, as will other Mountain Mediation Center volunteers.
Great. Well, Chris Campbell of Mountain Mediation, we're so glad you could join us and look forward to the event.
Thanks. My pleasure. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.